Towering to a height of more than 5,000 feet above the bars of Ruzangita stands the famous peak of Tateyama, from which the place gets its name and whose sacred character attracts hundreds of white-robed pilgrims to its summit every summer. The ordinary Japanese name Tateyama, Beacon Mountain, is owing to the fact that the peak is visible as a landmark far out on the Sea of Japan. The more classical Chinese title is Rusao, or Dragon Peak, the mythical monster being frequently associated in legend with mountains in the land of the rising sun. Tateyama is, not strictly speaking, a member of the long line of giants that form the main chain of the Japanese Alps. It belongs, geologically, to a volcanic range to the west that at first runs parallel to its central portion and then, eventually, turns in to join it at south of Yarigatake. It is thus connected with Norikura and Ontake by means of lower, less known volcanic peaks. After a day's rest in the romantic surroundings of the onsen, I started in the small hours of the morning for the summit of the Dragon Peak. Rising and breakfasting by the dull light of the andon, I stealthily crept out onto the veranda to pull on my hobnailed boots beyond the limits of the soft matted floor. A native porter was at hand waiting with his chochin to light the way, and together we stumbled drowsily across the rough compound towards the torrent. We crossed the rickety plank bridge that looked alarmingly narrow in the surrounding gloom and soon began to scramble up the rough broken hillside that rises 2,000 feet above the stream. An hour's hard going placed us on the top, where we found ourselves on the edge of a wide grassy plateau called Midagahara. In the middle of this, we joined the track that ascends from Ashikura, a village 15 miles below Ruzangita, in the valley of the Jōgwangjigawa. Ashikura is the orthodox starting point for the pilgrim mountaineers, and one of these, whom I met plodding wearily up the greasy, muddy track, told me that he had been climbing all night and didn't know when he would reach the top. A scramble up the beds by several torrents, which we ascended by jumping from boulder to boulder, in the usual way, we emerged on a broad plateau, girt on three sides by a magnificent cirque of peaks and commanding an extensive view. At the foot of its actual peak, I stopped for breakfast at the pilgrim's shelter called Murado, the club hut of Alpine Japan. From here, the ascent lay diagonally over 7 or 8 slopes of snow, and then up rough and fairly steep rocks to the highest point. Here and there on the rocky ledge, a miniature shrine stood sentinel and received the offerings of the pilgrim climbers. On the summit of a sharp rocky cone, a picturesque red-painted shrine overlooks all else and marks the topmost point, 9,200 feet. Of all the remarkable solfatras in which Japan abounds, some of the most interesting are those that lie a mile to the north of Murado, in a valley that is reached by a path passing between two green tarns near the hut. Seen from the top of the little hill above, the whole valley is alive with seething, bubbling pools of sulfur and boiling mud. The name Ojikoku, Great Hell, tells what the country people think of it. Descending from the hilltop to the valley floor, the crumbling, honeycombed earth demands the greatest caution. The little hummocks of sulfur are intensely hot, and a careless step will plunge one into the depths of boiling liquid that lies concealed beneath. From clefts in the sides of the mounds, composed of a mixture of sulfur and white rock, jets of steam and sulfuretted hydrogen burst out with a deafening roar and carry lumps of solid sulfur deposit to a distance of 5 or 6 yards. From some of the pools, boiling water of dark green or yellow color shoots up to a height of several feet and falls down again to be shot up with equal violence. The temperature of some of the pools is almost 200 Fahrenheit. Hello, and welcome to Snow Country Stories Japan. I'm your host, Peter Carnell, and this is a podcast all about life and travel in Japan's legendary Yukiguni. Today's episode is another of my travel guides to destinations in the snow country, in this case my guide to visiting the Tateyama-Kurobe Alpine Route. Located in Chubu Sengaku National Park and traversing Japan's highest mountain range, the Tateyama-Kurobe Alpine Route is one of the snow country's most popular destinations. If you've not heard the name, you may well have seen the photos. It is here at the summit of the Alpine Route that you can visit the immense snow walls of Tateyama, sheer white walls that ascend above the road, forming a snow corridor of immense size, which upon opening dwarfs the large buses that pass along it. Images of the walls and the expansive snowfields surrounding them somewhat obscure the fact that this is a green season destination, and there's a lot more to the alpine route than just the walls. The Tateyama Kurobe alpine route opens in spring, in mid-April, and operates until late autumn at the end of November. While it is in operation, it attracts thousands upon thousands of visitors each day, and some people will tell you it's not worth going there given how crowded the transports and the area around the top station can be, and I certainly get where they're coming from, but ultimately it's a rewarding destination given the dramatic beauty of the mountains, and especially when you appreciate the spiritual significance of Tateyama and the effort it took to create the route that now transports us there. The opening reading was taken from Mountaineering and Exploration in the Japanese Alps, published in 1896 by Reverend Walter Weston, accounting for his ascent of Tateyama in the company of white-robed mountain ascetics. Long before the alpine route was conceived and constructed and tourists arrived, the mountain was, and still is, considered sacred, a focal point of devotion for mountain ascetics. It's the second time I've borrowed from the book for opening an episode, following on from my guide of Nagano City, and I'll likely return to it again. Published at the end of the 19th century, it accounts for the fact that the mountain has always been a place of awe, wonder, fear, and danger, and though it might now attract thousands of visitors a day, using the transports of the alpine route to reach the same ground that Weston had to hike himself up to, the essence and importance of that realm have not changed. It's an inspiring landscape and one worth tolerating the crowds to experience. I hope you enjoy. The Tateyama Kurobe Alpine Route is a popular sightseeing route that transports visitors across Japan's highest mountain range, the Kita Alps or North Alps, from Ogizawa Station on the Nagano side of the range to Tateyama Station on the Toyama side. It takes a series of mountain transports to do so that operate between different stations, eventually ascending to Murodo Station at 2,450 meters, that's about 8,040 feet above sea level, from where you are within reach of the summit of Mount Tateyama at 3,003 meters, 9,852 feet. Closed to the public through winter due to heavy snowfall in the mountains, the alpine route operates from April 15th until the end of November each year, attracting thousands of visitors a day who come to experience one of Japan's most dramatic and striking alpine landscapes. The story of the alpine route must begin with that of Tateyama itself. The collectively named Tateyama is in fact three peaks, Mount Oyama at 3,003 meters, Mount Onanjiyama at 3,015 meters, and Mount Fujino Oritate at 2,999 meters. Mountain worship plays an important role in Japan's native religion of Shintoism and syncretic Shugendo faith systems, and among the many sacral mountains of Japan, Tateyama is considered one of the three most sacred, along with Mount Fuji and Mount Haku. Tateyama has been the focal point of devotion for practitioners of the Tateyama Shinko faith system for well over 1,000 years, as alluded to in the opening reading and reference to white robe pilgrims ascending to the summit. I have discussed Shugendo, mountain worship, and ascetic practices in previous episodes, and will be returning to this topic in future, but for now it's worth noting that until the late 19th century, few people other than the mountain ascetics had ever ventured far into those mountains or summited Tateyama. That changed in the 19th century. The reading I opened with, published in 1896, accounts for Weston's experience hiking Tateyama and other mountains in central Japan, and attest to the introduction of the concept of mountain hiking as recreation, a practice brought to Japan by Europeans in the 19th century. With the increasing popularity of recreational hiking through the 20th century and devastation of the Second World War, moving into the post-war period, the mountains of the North Alps availed new opportunities and offered potential remedies for two pressing challenges: how to supply power for a rebuilding economy largely concentrated in the major cities, while encouraging tourism into regional areas in order to address economic stagnation. With that, two major infrastructure projects began in 1952 and 1956 respectively on opposite sides of the mountain range that ultimately, upon their completion, would link up as the Tatsuyama-Kurobe Alpine Route in 1971, almost 20 years after construction first began. In 1952, construction began on a cable car that would carry visitors from Tatsuyama Station on the Toyama side of the mountains, a relatively short distance above, to Bijodaira, an area known for its old-growth forest of giant cedars, in an effort to open it up for tourism. Upon its completion in 1953, work then began on a road ascending to Murado, near the summit of the mountain. Constructed in stages and with great effort given the terrain, when completed, the mountain road stretched 23 kilometers, around 14 miles, while ascending 1,500 meters, nearly 5,000 feet to Murado at 2,450 meters, just over 8,000 feet, and completed to what this day constitutes the alpine route to and from the Toyama side of the mountain range. As the route stretched itself up from Toyama, construction on the Nagano side began for a very different reason. In 1951, the Kansai Electric Power Company was established to provide power for the Kansai region. Geological and hydrological studies of the Kurobe River that runs out of the North Alps identified a suitable site, and construction began on Kurobe Dam in 1956, which, when completed, would supply hydroelectrical power to the cities including Osaka and Kyoto. The project immediately encountered major difficulties, including transport of materials along a narrow railway. In response, construction of a 5.5 kilometer, that's a 3.5 mile tunnel through which materials would be transported began. Once again, major obstacles were encountered, including large fracture zones that took more than half a year to reinforce, with men working under gushing near freezing water. Ultimately, completion of the tunnel allowed construction of the dam to begin in 1959, which itself was completed in 1963. To this day, Kurobe Dam remains the tallest dam in Japan and one of the country's most impressive engineering feats, a task that is said to have claimed the lives of 171 people. Its completion, less than 20 years after the devastation of the Second World War, was a source of immense national pride, much like the first bullet train, that's a Shinkansen service, that rolled out 1 year later in 1964. In popular culture, the construction of Kurobe Dam was dramatized in the 1968 film, The Sands of Kurobe, from which you heard music during the opening reading, while later kaiju, that's monster films including Mothra in 1961, Ghidorah, the three-headed monster in 1964, and Gamera vs. Baragon in 1966, all feature the dam and kaiju destroying it. Very poor form on their part. With completion of the dam, the tunnel leading to it opened to the public in 1964 as a means of accessing its lake for tourism using trolley buses. This remains the first transport used when ascending the alpine route from the Nagano side of the mountains today. With the dam completed, work then began on transports that would ascend above it and ultimately connect to the top station of Murado. The steep and treacherous terrain made construction of a road impossible, and instead an underground cable car, ropeway, and further tunnel and trolley buses were planned. Construction began in 1966, with the cable car opened in 1969. The 1,700 meter or 5,600 feet ropeway opened in 1970, and the final 3.7 kilometer, 2.3 mile tunnel completed in 1969 and opened in 1971. With that, transports from both the Toyama and Nagano sides of the mountain range ascended to the top station of Murado that sits on the plateau below the triple-peaked Tatsuyama, linking them together as the Tatsuyama-Kurobe Alpine Route. Before I experienced the Alpine Route for myself, I struggled to form a clear idea of what it is and what to expect. It is, in fact, very straightforward, and one of the reasons I think that it is worth discussing its history in a little detail is that in doing so, it helps envisage what you will experience when there. The Tatsuyama-Kurobe Alpine Route is a series of transports that can be used from the Ogizawa Station on the Nagano side of the mountain range, or Tatsuyama Station on the Toyama side of the range, to ascend via a series of stations and viewpoints to Murado Station. In doing so, you are transported using the same system of transports outlined in the construction history to the alpine plateau below one of Japan's most sacred peaks, Tatsuyama. You can ascend and descend on the same side of the mountain range or go from one side to the other. You can also stay up there using mountain hotels, hiking lodges, or camp. We'll come back to that. Backcountry skiing and snowboarding, hiking and mountaineering can all be accessed from the top station of Murado, although most visitors visit as a day trip. The alpine route opens to the public on April 15th each year and typically remains open till the end of November. It is inaccessible in winter due to the heavy snowfall and reopens each year after much hardier people than me head up there to free the entombed transports of snow, including carving out the mountain road and in doing so creating the corridor of snow for which the route is best known. Referred to as Yuki no Otani in Japanese, or just commonly referred to as the snow walls of Tatsuyama, the snow corridor rises up to 18 meters, 60 feet in height, upon opening in April, and is without question the most famous feature of the alpine route. It is immediately accessible on foot from Murado Station, and should you be ascending or descending from the Toyama side of the mountains, you'll be transported on a bus that drives beneath the immense gleaming walls. The snow walls are at their most impressive upon opening and through April to mid-May, gradually receding as the weather warms until they have completely melted by mid-June to July. Roped-off walkways allow you to walk along the road in the snow corridor without having to mind for buses, while external trails allow you to venture further out onto the snow plains nearby. Needless to say, the impressive sight draws thousands upon thousands of visitors each day, and the alpine route is extremely busy upon opening, so factor that in if you're going to go early in the season. While the snow walls are certainly a famous and unique experience, I don't consider them to be the most attractive feature of the alpine route, even upon its opening in spring. On the other side of Murado Station, that's the opposite side to the snow walls, extensive snowfields stretch out over the Mikuri Gaike area. Visitors have access to this area and can walk across the snow to witness the grandeur of the surrounding mountains. On a clear day, it's a remarkable sight and to my mind of greater note than the snow walls. The snow remains deep for quite some time after opening in April, so if you want to walk across the snowfields, you'll need to wear snow boots or better yet, snowshoes. Without them, you'll be sinking into the snow and it'll be tough work pretty quickly. As the weather warms in May and into June, the walking trails beneath the snow will begin to emerge, providing easier access to Mikuri Gaike Onsen to enjoy a hot spring and the surrounding ponds that are formed by the snowmelt, and viewpoints from where to look down into Hell's Valley, Jigokudani. Formed by lava flow from previous eruptions of the mountain, the volcanic plateau is punctured by sulfuric vents and boiling mud pools as described in Weston's 1896 account I read from at the opening. This area is off limits to visitors, however viewpoints provide a clear view from the Mikuri Gaike area, including Mikuri Gaike Onsen, my recommendation of where to get a good cheap lunch, a cold beer while you sit outside and enjoy the remarkable landscape around you. Sat there looking down upon the fields of hell and then craning your neck to look up to the summit, to the heavenly realm of the gods, you understand the significance of the mountain, a place of awe and of wonder, but equally of danger and of fear. It is a realm we as humans can spend only fleeting time in. It is otherworldly and a place we should not linger too long. In 1896, you had to hike yourself up to that point, and Weston accounts for the fact that he did so in the company of mountain aesthetics and practitioners of the Tatsuyama Shinko faith system. While the transports of the alpine route mean we can now arrive with ease and en masse, the true meaning of this place remains unchanged. Yet I think many, if not most visitors, are distracted from that by the snow walls and their insta moments. Don't be. Appreciate the mountain for what it has long meant to the Japanese. Then the experience of enduring the queues and crowded transports to get there is worth it. The rising temperature of summer, July and August, soon melts the remainder of the snow, opening up all hiking trails including to the summit of Tatsuyama. The trails around the plateau surrounding Murado Station are leisurely and suitable to anyone of reasonable fitness. They are interconnected, allowing you to choose from a quick 30-minute circuit or longer courses that will take an hour or two. The 5.5-kilometer or 3.5-mile trail leading from Murado at 2,450 meters to the summit of Tatsuyama, which goes up to 3,015 meters, is listed as a 3.5-hour round trip, meaning that it can be done in a day, but it's also worth considering booking a mountain lodge so that you aren't rushed and you're able to enjoy the sunset, sunrise, and renowned star-filled sky above at night. All trails in this area are well-maintained and clearly signposted. More advanced multi-day trails leading from Murado and the summit of Tateyama to other peaks in the national park are also accessible. There's too much to cover in this episode regarding that, nor do I have the experience to do so. Should you be interested in undertaking a multi-day hike from Tateyama, you'll find a lot of information online. The same goes for backcountry skiing and snowboarding. Upon opening, the Alpine route provides access to renowned backcountry access from Murado Station. It's not something I've done and should only be attempted if you have the necessary experience, gear, and follow the regulations. A number of companies offer both guided backcountry skiing and snowboarding and hikes around Tateyama and are worth considering. A simple online search, Tateyama Backcountry Tours, will direct you to some companies that can help. In terms of when to go, as said, the Tateyama Kurobe Alpine route is extremely popular with both Japanese and international visitors and will be crowded basically every day. The only time you might encounter significantly fewer visitors is when bad weather is forecast, while also noting that if the weather is too adverse, the transports might actually stop. You'll likely experience fewer visitors also at the end of the season in November, again down to the weather, which is degrading at that time and the first snow is coming. Such days are the only possible exception to what is normally a very crowded, if not over-touristed destination. Always busy, there are definitely days to avoid. The Alpine route is at its busiest upon opening in April, as many visitors want to witness the snow walls at their most impressive. Weekends and national holidays are very busy throughout the season, and especially so during the week-long run of public holidays in late April and early May, that's known as Golden Week, the summer holidays in August, and Koyo, or autumn leaf season, which starts earlier in Tateyama due to its altitude, usually in late September through to October. Best advice is to avoid weekends and public holidays at all times of year and try to take the first transport of the day, but even then, you can expect it to be busy. Spring, that's mid-April to mid-May or June, is popular thanks to the snow walls, but I actually think the Alpine route is a better destination in summer and autumn. The highest daytime average maximum temperatures are 6 degrees Celsius, that's 43 Fahrenheit in April, 10 degrees Celsius, 50 Fahrenheit in May, and 14 degrees Celsius, 57 Fahrenheit in June. As the trails open up fully through late June and July, you can enjoy beautiful yet leisurely alpine walking, the azure ponds formed by the snowmelt, and alpine flower fields coming into bloom in July and August. The highest average daytime maximum are 16 Celsius, 61 Fahrenheit in July, and 18 Celsius, 64 Fahrenheit in August. This is followed by the autumn colors of September and October. The highest daytime maximums on average are 15 degrees Celsius, 59 Fahrenheit in September, 10 Celsius, 50 Fahrenheit in October, and 2 Celsius, 36 Fahrenheit in November. Of course, it's an alpine environment, so weather can change quickly and vary dramatically even on the same day, so go prepared for potentially colder or hotter conditions than forecast, and carry the essentials, including sunglasses, a hat, sunscreen if you burn easily, a water, wind or windproof jacket, water or other drinks and snacks. Sunglasses and sunscreen are especially important if visiting in spring, when the glare off the snow can be intense, so don't forget those. There are restaurants and snack options at Murado, that's the top station, and other stations on the route, but they can be very crowded, so I always recommend carrying a little food and drink with you. If you do want to eat once at Murado, I recommend not using the restaurants inside the main building, they're usually very, very busy, but instead walking the trail over to the Mikuri Gaike Onsen area, where you'll find the mountain lodge, restaurant, and hot spring. Most visitors don't bother to walk that far, despite it actually being very easy to get there. And on a clear day, the views from the outdoor tables are definitely the best place to enjoy lunch, a cold beer, and should you be in the mood, soak in the volcanic waters of Tateyama. Traversing the alpine route from one side to the other takes between 6 to 8 hours, depending on how much time you want to spend at the summit and other spots on the way up and on the way down. Should you wish to, you can descend the same way that you came up, or go all the way from one side to the other. Or even if you want, you can not go all the way up. For example, from the Toyama side, you could take the cable car from Tateyama Station to Bijodaira to enjoy the old-growth cedar forest there, or get off the bus at Mitagahara to enjoy the hiking trails in that area, something I haven't even discussed. There's just too much to cover in one episode. But most visitors obviously want to head to the top station of Murado, and if that's your plan, whether you're coming from the Toyama or the Nagano side, or whichever you're planning to return to, you need to allow 6 to 8 hours, and added to that, the time to get between the base stations and your original starting point. Ogizawa is the base station on the Nagano side of the mountain range. You can get there using bus services from Nagano Station, taking just over 2 hours, or other services from other starting points, or you can drive yourself from Nagano. It's around an 80 to 90 minute direct drive from central Nagano City, and then park nearby and use the transports to head up. From the Toyama side of the mountains, you take the first transport from Tateyama Station. Train services run to Tateyama Station from Toyama Station, taking around 70 minutes. It's my opinion that the ascent from the Nagano side is the better of the two. Boarding an electric bus, you enter the Kanden Tunnel and are driven 15 minutes through the mountain, including past the fracture points that are still gushing with water and took them so many months to actually reinforce so they could move on. It's then onto the cable car to ascend to the station above before boarding the ropeway to ascend from 1,828 meters to 2,316 meters, arriving at Daikanbo. Make sure to linger a little while, as you should have an outstanding view of the mountains before boarding the tunnel bus for the 10-minute journey onto Murado. As you move through the tunnels, through the very mountain itself and past those fracture points with that gushing cold water that's still coming through the mountain, you glimpse the immense effort required to have constructed this. It's a robust, industrial, visceral experience, and one that I like, despite the crowds. When ascending from Tateyama Station, you use the above-ground cable car followed by a bus along the mountain road to Murado Station. It's certainly enjoyable, but does not have the same impact. Whichever way you choose to move along the route, you will be crammed into transports, with the journey taking between 1.5 to 2 hours up and down, but that time passes quickly, it really doesn't feel that long. And noting that you can choose to spend time at each station along the way. Staff are positioned at all critical points on the route to direct you where to go and which transport to get on. Just follow their direction, it's all very easy. Ticket prices vary depending on where you will embark and disembark, but are typically expensive and not covered by the JR Pass. Refer to the official website for current prices, but for example, if you're going from one side to the other, it's going to cost you somewhere between 8,000 to 10,000 yen. I think the current price is just over 9,000, but I don't want to get too far into prices because they do get updated each season. Tickets can be purchased in advance, including online or at the base stations of Ogizawa and Tateyama. Purchasing your ticket in advance is always a good option, as the queue at the pre-purchase ticket window at the base stations is typically much shorter than people buying their ticket on the day. All-inclusive tickets, including the transports to the base stations from Toyama or Nagano, can also be purchased. Up-to-date ticketing information is on the Tateyama Kurobai Alpine Route website. Check the show notes or the episode page on the Snow Country Stories Japan website for a link to it. Most people visit the Alpine route as a day trip, but should you wish to stay around Murado, you have options to do so. Hotel Tateyama is connected with the top station and is the largest hotel up there. It's quite expensive, with the price more reflective of its location and demand rather than its quality, but it is certainly the most popular and convenient option for staying up there. In addition to the hotel, there are a number of mountain lodges, servicing hikers, but available for anyone to book. The Miguri Gaike Onsen and Tateyama Murado Sanso lodges are the easiest to access. Raichoso, Raichoso Sawahut, and Lodge Tateyama Renpo are also available, but take a little bit more effort to walk to. These are hiking lodges and typically provide basic but clean and comfortable sleeping quarters, often shared, along with shared bathing and toilet facilities. You also need to walk to them from Murado stations, so they will not be suitable to everyone. And when booking early in the season, that's in April and May, when there's still lots of snow on the ground, best to check with the lodge prior to booking regarding what gear you'd need to take with you to walk there. The Raichosawa campground is located in the same area as those lodges and operates from opening in April until October. Links to all relevant websites are on the episode page of the Snow Country Stories Japan website, noting that many of them are only in Japanese. Staying overnight, especially if you choose a mountain lodge that you will need to walk to, takes you away from the crowds and allows you to experience the mountains after the last transport has stopped and the first one arrives the following day, when there are relatively few people around. Just remember that you'll be using the same transports when you do travel up and down as everybody else, and in doing so, with a large suitcase will be difficult, so pack light for an overnight stay. I wouldn't carry anything larger than a day pack or a hiking rucksack when you visit. Worth repeating that most visitors head to the Alpine route as a day trip from Nagano City or Toyama City. You'll find plenty of hotels on any booking site around Nagano Station and Toyama Station, from where you can take the bus or train services to the base stations. The base station on the Toyama side of the mountains, that's Tateyama Station, also has accommodation around it. To the best of my knowledge, however, there is no accommodation around Ogizawa Station on the Nagano side. As a guide based in Nagano, I have accompanied guests on the Alpine route on many occasions, and I particularly enjoy doing so in summer when we can walk the trails around the plateaus surrounding Morodo Station and enjoy a few beers in the sun. So I'm certainly available to guide it should you be looking for someone to do that, but there's a couple of things to note. The ticket required to head up the Alpine route is expensive. As I said, you can expect to pay somewhere between 8,000 to 9,000 yen, but that price varies depending on your starting endpoint and will be increased each season. And guides also have to be paid for. So that cost needs to be factored into my guiding fee, making the Tateyama Kurobe Alpine route a more expensive day out than other options with me. I also don't take my guests up on weekends and public holidays for the reasons already discussed. It's just too busy. Should you be interested in a guided tour, feel free to get in touch with me via the Snow Country Stories Japan website, and I can run you through everything and we can see what we can agree on. But should you prefer to take yourself up and over Japan's highest mountain range, then I hope this travel guide is of help in planning your visit, and whichever time of year you do plan to go, I hope you enjoy. That's it for today's episode. For more information about the Tateyama Kurobe Alpine Route, visit the official website alpenroute.com. That's alpen-route.com. There's a link to it in the show notes and on the episode page of the Snow Country Stories Japan website. That website is snowcountrystories.com, and you can follow the show on Instagram, Facebook, and X by searching Snow Country Stories Japan. Thanks to everyone who is listening. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button on your podcast app, and if you can take the really brief time needed to rate the show and write a review, it really helps it get noticed and it will be promoted to more listeners. My name is Peter Carnell. This has been Snow Country Stories Japan. I'll be back with the next episode in a couple of weeks' time. Until then, it's bye for now.